next public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Okay. We have two ordinances that have been proposed, and I would suggest that we conduct a public hearing on both of them simultaneously because they address the same issue. However, what we can do when we do vote on them, they do need to be voted on separately.
Okay.
So the ordinance, an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 21, Section 159.5B of the Code of Sussex County regarding electronic message display on off-premises signs.
Thank you, sir.
And secondly, an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 21, Section 159.5B of the Code of Sussex County to prohibit electronic message display on off-premise signs. It's my understanding that both Mr. Lank and Mr. Robertson are going to make presentations to the council at this point. After that, if any members of the public would like to address this, please come forward, give us your name and address, and then make your presentation. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of council, I'm here less to make a presentation than to be Mr. Lank's voice this morning. So, briefly, though, as Mr. Moore described, there are the two pending ordinances, and I'll summarize them quickly. The one is fairly straightforward in that it is a prohibition against electronic message displays on an off-premises sign. For a little bit of background, an off-premises sign would be a sign or billboard on a property that advertises a business that's not located on that property. It advertises some other business. So if that's the opposite of an on-premises sign, which would be a sign or billboard on an owner's property that advertises that owner's business on that property. So that's the distinction. The second ordinance would be that electronic message display could be permitted if it's approved by the Board of Adjustment as part of a special use exception. So procedurally, how that would work is an applicant would file for the special use exception for the billboard itself, which you currently need to do to get an off-premises sign. And then as part of that, you would also need to apply for the special use exception for the electronic message display or LED or LCD display. So those are the two ordinances, and they've been consolidated into one hearing, as Mr. Moore stated. What I'll do next is read the report from Planning and Zoning. Mr. Moore stated, the same thing occurred at Planning and Zoning. There was a consensus of the commission that the two ordinance amendments relating to electronic message displays on off-premises signs be considered in one public hearing, and that the decisions on each of the ordinance amendments would be rendered separately, and then the ordinances were introduced. I explained that electronic message displays are permitted on on-premise signs in certain zoning district, that DelDOT per Delaware Code Title 17 has references to similar signs, and that if the ordinance amendment is approved, the public will be allowed to participate in the public hearing process before to the Board of Adjustment for special use exceptions that would be requested for the electronic message display capability. There were four folks that came in opposition to the application, which were Sandy Spence, Linda Blumner, and Barbara Vaughn, and I think there was one other, Carol Zorek, also appeared in opposition. There was also one group in support who was represented by David Hutt with Wilson, Halbrook, and Byard. At the conclusion of the public hearing on January 12th, there was a motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and give all commissioners time to review the record, and that was on the proposed amendment allowing the electronic message displays through special use exceptions. Likewise, with the prohibition ordinance amendment, on January 12, 2012, there was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and to give all commissioners time to review the record. Both of those motions carried 3-0. On January 26, 2012, the commission again discussed the ordinance amendments, which had been deferred since January 12, 2012. Mr. Johnson stated that he is opposed to the size of the signs and referenced that there was testimony voicing opposition to electronic message displays. Mr. Wheatley reminded the commission that they have the ability to make recommendations for amendments. Mr. Burton stated that he has concerns about timing and backlighting. Mr. Ross stated that he has listened to the taped record and that the concerns expressed related to safety issues, flashing lights, etc., but there are also benefits to change the regulations for signage and that the county needs to look at the sign regulations again. Mr. Smith stated that he supports the fact that the Board of Adjustment will still be reviewing the signs, but is concerned about the safety issues and distractions caused by the electronic message display signs. Mr. Ross moved that the Commission recommend adoption of the ordinance amendment to allow electronic message displays and suggested that the County Council should look at the sign regulations again. There was no second to his motion. Mr. Ross withdrew his motion to recommend adoption, and there was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to defer action on the ordinance amendment regarding electronic message displays, and that motion carried 5-0. And there was a similar motion made by Mr. Johnson and seconded by Mr. Burton with regard to the other pending amendment, and that motion carried 5-0. So at this point, there has not been a recommendation from Planning and Zoning, although it is on the agenda for this Thursday for consideration under old business.
But they can; those billboards would be have to be on commercial property, wouldn't they not?
Yes, the limitation is for special use exceptions. They would have to be. Mm-hmm.
They couldn't be in front of somebody's community or next to somebody's house on residential property.
Not unless that land in front of that community was zoned commercial.
Was zoned commercial.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Robertson, they would still require a public hearing, is that correct?
Yes, there would be a public hearing before the Board of Adjustment on whether or not the electronic message display capability on a billboard would be permitted. So the public would have an opportunity to have input on that. And so, you know, a couple things can occur. One is that after the public input, the Board of Adjustment could approve it or deny it. There's sort of a third alternative where they could approve it with conditions if they wanted to also.
In existing signs, they would still have to come in through the Board of Adjustment too.
Yeah, this doesn't, in other words, if you have a billboard right now mm-hmm. with a Board of Adjustment permit for that, you're not grandfathered where you can have electronic message display. You would then have to come in for the special use exception on that billboard.
Okay.
Mr. Robertson, is there any type of DLDOT regulations concerning these?
There is. DLDOT has regulations based on off-premises signs. And they have some details, and I could provide this to council. It's actually in Title 17 within the sections dealing with Delaware byways, and it talks about the type of regulations, and it gets somewhat technical in terms of the manner in which the signs are illuminated, how fast they can scroll from one picture to another, that type of thing.
I did provide the council with a report called Beyond Aesthetics, How Billboards Affect Economic Prosperity. It was prepared by Jonathan Snyder. It was provided to me through Mrs. Deaver, and it was sent to her by Bob Connolly. I just did that for informational purposes. Okay. It's about billboards.
What did he say? What was the conclusion on that?
That's a personal opinion.
Oh, okay.
But basically, it was interesting reading because it relates to billboards in general and how it affects the economy. So there's sort of some positives, some negatives. Mm-hmm. Really, it's the mix.
We're not.
No, I just got that was mm-hmm. just sent to me in the public hearing process since it released the billboard. I thought it was a good time to submit it.
We're only addressing the electronic thing, right?
Exactly.
Right. Billboards are not going to be affected by this.
No, that's correct.
Billboards already have their own process that goes to the board anyway.
So it's just adds something, a new wrinkle to the billboard industry is what we're looking at.
Are there any other questions from council? If not, it's time to have the public speak. Let's see one hand up.
Pro and con. Anybody, right?
Yes.
Just as they come down, they just have to identify if they're for it or against it.
What they have to do is give us a name and address and then make a comment. They can address it. They don't just have to say yes.
Well, I know some people, you might not, after they get done talking, you might not know if they're for it or against it. So it would be nice if they would say that
yes.
We support one of the ordinances or...
Sure.
That would be helpful.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road, Greenwood, 19950, whatever it's worth. Now, I've always hated billboards. Why? You were here when it occurred. But besides the point, $30,000 they cost me. Now, I want to know why, first of all, you guys claim that you're so business friendly. I'll be dadgum with your business friendly. a bunch of crock as far as that concerned, because if you were business friendly, you wouldn't require somebody to come in and have to kiss somebody's duck in order to get a billboard. And if it's, now, you want to put this thing up there? Yeah, it should pass. How? I would recommend it couldn't flash. It'd have to be changed once a day. Couldn't flash in during the day at any time or nighttime. If it was solid on there completely, change it once a day. Whenever you want to change it, midnight would be a fine time. But to come in and have to kiss somebody to get and pay $400 to boot, why? It used to be a given that if you had commercial land, you could automatically get a billboard. But oh no, you guys, and you were here when it occurred, slapped a moratorium on it, and then because one woman, you asked a question about having it next to the house. Mm-hmm. Guess what? The sign is still next to her house, never changed, but in the meantime, cost the business millions of dollars because they had to kiss somebody's rump in order to get the signs. Thank you.
Well, that wasn't electronic, though. That was just
billboard. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to comment? Anyone else that would like to comment? Mr. Hutt?
Mr. Rogers. I want to hear Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers is here. Oh, he likes signs.
He's pro signs.
He's pro signs.
And I have a handout for each of the council members.
We're all in for handouts.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Everybody have one?
Mm-hmm. State your name for the record.
Sure. My name is David Hutt. I'm an attorney with Wilson, Howard, and Byard here in Georgetown, Delaware. As was indicated during Mr. Robertson's comments, I represent owners of commercial properties, which obviously have the ability to have billboards, whether they be electronic or static billboards on them. I wanted to speak to a couple of things we've heard already. One thing was a comment from Ms. Deaver asking either Mr. Lack or Mr. Robertson about the location of these. And I think that's an important feature of this, is that they can only be, under the Sussex County Code, they can only exist on commercial property. You're not going to see them in an entirely residential neighborhood. And the county code only allows them, and frankly, they're not even allowed unless you get a special use exception in a commercial neighborhood. So they're not expressly or authorized just immediately. You already have to go before the Board of Adjustment and obtain a special use exception in order to have a off-premise sign, which we would all call a billboard, on your commercial property. As I was thinking about what I was going to say this morning, I was trying to think of an analogy, and I think actually what may have caused me to think of this analogy may have been a comment at Planning and Zoning Commission by either Mr. Wheatley or one of the other commission members, which is that they viewed this as newer technology and similar to what occurred when cell phones became wider used. The ordinances have to change and adopt methods of dealing with how you deal with this new technology. And I thought I would use that analogy a little bit because I'm familiar with it. I can distinctly recall when no one had a cell phone. Then I recall my folks and other individuals having large, bulky bag phones and trying to put little antennas on top of their car and figuring out how to do all that. And now, I'd imagine everybody that's in, almost everybody in this room probably, has some sort of a cell phone or other device, which probably is about the size of a wallet, can access the internet, can prepare documents, can do just about anything you could ever hope to do on it. And this just shows the evolution of that technology over time. Obviously, the county has ordinances that deal with cell phone towers and how that information, or where they're going to be constructed and the types of places. And in fact, they also appear before the Board of Adjustment, just as a billboard application would. I've handed out to you a booklet of just some information I put together. Because this is a newer technology, I wanted to help orient the council to some of the features of this. As there's not been a recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission, you'll probably have a little bit of time to look through this. I don't anticipate, unless I'm that boring, that you'll look through it right now. But it begins with just some overview about digital billboards, the regulatory framework, a quick discussion of traffic safety. Those are the first two tabs. The next tab is a report given to the Outdoor Advertising Association of America, and this deals with lighting, and it's very technical. So if you need to go to sleep one night, if you pull this out, you'll learn all about lumens and other types of ambient lighting conditions. And the good news is I brought with me today one of the manufacturers of electronic billboards, so he can explain this to us and hopefully in ways that we can understand. The next tab is from actually the manufacturer that's here today, which is a photo cell fact sheet explaining some of the features of LED billboards. And then the fifth tab is a background on measurements and calculations for lighting. And again, we will hear more about that from Mr. Friskney in a moment. The last tab I wanted to point out, because there was a question from Mr. Moore already about this, and that is the DLDOT regulations. They are actually attached as tab 6 in the booklet that's given to you. And if you turn to page 2 of that tab, at the very bottom of the page, you will see the technical requirements that Mr. Robertson and Mr. Moore discussed a moment ago. And I want to run through them quickly, because then I will ask Mr. Friskney with the manufacturer to discuss how signs are manufactured and how those manufacturing standards correlate with the DLDOT standards. The first one is that the sign has to be fixed for at least 10 seconds. This is actually more restrictive than the county's sign ordinance for on-premise signs. For on-premise signs, Sussex County only requires an 8-second display. The second part is that the message has to be changed. It has to be changed in a second or less with everything moving simultaneous. In other words, it has to be an instantaneous change. It can't be something that starts at one side of the screen and slowly changes to another message. The change is going to happen instantaneously. The third requirement from DLDOT regulates the distances between these signs. And in the shortest format, there has to be 2,500 feet between these types of signs. So there'd be a 2,500 feet on either side of one of these signs in which you could not have another electronic message display. And DLDOT does not call them electronic message displays. DLDOT has two types of signs, static and variable. These would be variable signs that we're talking about. The fourth requirement is that the sign must be designed to freeze in one position if a malfunction occurs, or in the alternative, just shut down. The fifth one is that there can't be any flashing lights. This was already a concern that was mentioned this morning, but there can't be any flashing lights or flashing displays or things that mimic road directions and road safety standards. And significantly, at the end of Section 5, the last sentence says, a variable message sign must appropriately adjust display brightness as ambient light levels change. This means, and we'll get into this in a few moments, but this means that as day turns to night, the brightness of the sign reduces automatically to match the ambient lighting conditions. The sixth item is similar to the fifth one, and that is that you can't attempt to direct the movement of traffic or try to imitate official traffic control devices to try and mimic DLDOT. They obviously want to distinguish themselves for safety reasons from commercial advertising. And the seventh one talks about placement along Delaware byways. There are three things, I think, before we get into the technical things that are important to note. Obviously, this issue, there was people who spoke in opposition at the Planning and Zoning Commission. There have been articles in the newspaper. And there seems to be an overwhelming theme that generates from all of those, and that is people see what some people call objectionable or offensive or distracting signs right now and say, well, this will make that worse. And those concerns relate to primarily two things, and that is brightness and safety. That where people think that this sign or that sign, and there are pictures of signs, and people talked about signs at the planning, specific signs at the Planning and Zoning Commission, where they said, well, this sign is just too bright, and I can't read this sign, or this sign's a safety distraction. And as was noted before, and as was indicated, those were all on-premise signs, which are regulated only by Sussex County, and that's actually a relatively, I think, new feature of the sign ordinance for Sussex County is the allowance of electronic message display. There are differences between, obviously, the on-premise signs can only advertise what's going on the premise, whereas the off-premise signs or the billboards must advertise things that occur off of that specific site and not on that site. What is being proposed here and what I'm here to support is the ordinance amendment that allows for these things to be brought before the public in the setting of a special use exception, similar to how billboards are right now. If you'd like a billboard on your commercial property, you must appear before the Board of Adjustment and obtain a special use exception and any variances that are required for height, size, or setbacks.
Mr. Huck, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you indicated that the on-site billboards do not have any regulations from DLDOT. It's just from the county. Is that correct?
That's correct. And actually, if you look at the ordinance, the statute that was at tab 6, at the very beginning it says that the purpose of it is to provide for size, spacing, lighting of signs, to control outdoor advertising. And I'm paraphrasing, but I'll quote here in a moment. But then it says, other than signs advertising the sale or lease of the property on which they are located or activities conducted on that site.
So the DLDOT regulations concerning brightness, how much the sign can move, change face, does not affect the on-site premises.
That's correct. Frankly, you don't have to go to DLDOT to get a permit for your on-premise sign. Mm-hmm. And similarly, DLDOT does not, the regulations that I walked through quickly, the dimming and all those other things, they do not apply to on-premise signs. Those are regulated strictly by the county or the municipality in which they're located.
Okay.
And we're talking about commercial land. Are you talking about B1 and conditional use as well? I mean, go down Savannah Road, could somebody's home, which has been rezoned to B1, could they put up a sign? Off-premise sign advertising something with an electronic sign billboard?
No, section 159.5 of your sign ordinance states that signs permitted in the C1 general commercial, CR1 commercial residential, and then your industrial sites
okay.
as well.
So,
and that if you go to subsection B, off-premise signs after obtaining a special use exception.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're only talking about CR1.
Correct.
C1. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Or industrial.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And to follow up on what Mr. Moore said, very quickly I can walk through the differences between the on-premise sign requirements that Sussex County has and what DLDOT regulates for off-premise signs. For on-premise signs, Sussex County allows a display to dissolve, fade, flip, or window-type shade movements. DLDOT would not allow that on an off-premise billboard. As I mentioned earlier, Sussex County has an 8-second minimum for a display on an on-premise side. DLDOT requires a 10-second minimum. DLDOT requires that brightness adjusts as ambient conditions change. The sign ordinance for on-premise signs does not require brightness changes. And of course, there's no public hearing that's necessary to get an on-premise sign. To obtain an on-premise sign, you would simply go to the Planning and Zoning Office and obtain a permit for a sign, and they would check to make sure it was the appropriate size. But nobody would require you to go to a public hearing and obtain a special use exception, as is being proposed with the amendment to this ordinance. As I indicated a moment ago, and I'll ask him to introduce himself to you, standing to my left Where you're right is Darren Friskney. He is, well, I'll let him tell you who he is and I guess give his address so he can introduce himself.
Yeah, it's Friskney, F-R-I-S-K-N-E-Y, and I represent Watchfire. We manufacture these digital billboards. Our company's located at 1015 Maple Street in Danville, Illinois, about 100 miles south of Chicago. So,
welcome to Sussex County.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. So I thought if you have technical lighting questions or questions about how the images change, that sort of thing, I'm the guy who can answer those things for you.
And I'm happy to spur the conversation on a little bit and ask him some questions. First, I guess you've heard that there were two primary concerns, or I've explained that to you, but I think they were also mentioned this morning. And those relate to brightness and safety. They seem to be the concern that we hear the most often. How bright is a standard size LED billboard?
There are two things, two brightness parameters you'd consider. One is daytime brightness and the other is night. Daytime brightness is not really much of a concern because you've got so much ambient light, sunlight to deal with. At night, as the sun sets, the terminology is called a nit. That's the measure of brightness that signs like this are measured in. It's NIT. And what we do is we cap we put a regulator on the nighttime brightness for the billboards that we build, and it's 300 is the maximum brightness that they cannot exceed overnight. And so that's just impossible to go beyond that brightness. And a typical image pulls about a quarter to a third of potential brightness, so they're running at about 100 of this measurement unit, which is called a nit. I know that probably there's no context for that. I'm not really sure what that means. So to give you a little context, a porch light, for instance, is many times the brightness of a digital billboard. There's a device that you can point at and get the measurement off of these. So we only want them to be just appropriately bright. If they're too bright, they become hard to read and the image just kind of becomes blurry. So we try to regulate that brightness and keep them in within tight constraints so the images look great.
Let me ask our attorney something. I got a question in my mind. Before we get into a lot of this technical stuff, this ordinance here is going to permit it. Would then the board have some minimal standards like we do with, say, borrow pits and some other things? In other words, this ordinance isn't addressing any of this technical stuff. It is basically saying, are they going to be permitted or not?
That's correct.
Then wouldn't it be, Lawrence, wouldn't we have then some minimal standards that... As you look through this booklet and with all this lighting and angles and this and that and everything else, what would be the process? Because I don't want to sit here and listen to a lot of technical stuff. Not to.
This ordinance references the on premise electronic message displays.
Off premise.
Now, it references the technical requirements of an on premise, so it would be the same. So if it's right now it's 8 seconds, may have to be amended, but it references it in the on-premise design criteria.
Okay,
it's already in the code.
Okay, so we're already dealing with brightness and a lot of these things he's talking about.
It's addressed in the code already.
Mm-hmm. On-premise,
just by what state requires, mm-hmm. we may have to do some other amendments later on.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
we're just talking about off-premise.
The lighting, the way it scrolls, rolls, or et cetera, it's all included already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what is in the on-premise ordinance and the way it goes through now would be trumped, though, by state law through DLDOT regs. Would that be correct?
Technically, but we need to mm-hmm. be the same or
right.
more mm-hmm. restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
So less restrictive by allowing 8 seconds, where the state law says 10.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So what my concern would be, if we adopt this ordinance, do we need to address also some minimal standards or something that would tag along with this thing, or is it just an open book and DLDOT? I mean, just between DLDOT and what the board wants to do. So in other words, my question is, shouldn't we develop some standards as to...
We have criteria in the ordinance already for on-premise right. electronic message displays.
Right.
And this ordinance refers to those standards the way it's proposed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. I'm not that familiar with, off the top of my head, will the on-premise standards be appropriate for off-premise standards? Is
you know, we're talking about a billboard now, large billboard, referencing different things versus an on-premise sign.
As I said,
I'm wondering, I don't know if the rest of you, if they come to your mind, but are they the same, and should be they have the same standards?
The way we refer to them, they would be basically the same as on-premise. It's just going to be larger.
Right.
In size. So, but we may need to address some of the state regs.
And that was the reason in the ordinance amendment that we referred specifically to electronic message display, because that's a term that's existing within the sign regulations and zoning code. So by using that term for this ordinance, we didn't have to then restate all those existing regulations. It just pulls them into this ordinance.
Okay, but I think the council needs to find, in their mind, consider it. Are they appropriate? All of them appropriate? Some of them, maybe some of them aren't appropriate. Now, that's the other thing that I think maybe planning zoning should look at also as we're doing this.
Well, and that's kind of the way the discussion was evolving.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's all. I just didn't want to get into a whole bunch of technical stuff and we all sit up here sleeping, nodding out. Not that it's not interesting.
Not that we would do that. But I guess a question real quick. Are you referenced, Roger, this 300?
Yeah.
You referenced your company.
Uh-huh.
Is that telling me that all manufacturers of these do not have that same cap?
There are probably hundreds of companies that someone could potentially buy one of these from. The vast majority are sold by about three, our company and two others.
Okay.
There's just a few credible, common manufacturers, and those who are credible and common would be like us. You know, there's always someone you could buy.
There are some, I assume, out there who are uncredible or,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, you know, there's someone you could
that
find.
That could exceed the 300 or could do
Probably so. But, okay. You know, but anyone who's, you know, these are not an inexpensive purchase, and so you're generally going to buy from someone who's, you know,
sure,
credible,
okay,
responsible manufacturer.
And to follow up on the president's question, the 300 number you were using, how does that relate to the Del Dot number as far as brightness?
Del Dot doesn't get into specifics by measuring nits.
Okay.
What it does require is ambient, that the light dim with ambient conditions, and that's what was described as that, you know, that process. And I guess to follow up with Mr. Cole's question, if a person wanted to put one of these up right now, they, in addition to going to the Board of Adjustment, if the ordinance was approved, they would still have to go to DelDOT and get a permit, and DelDOT then regulates the things that we just said. So in addition to the on-premise regulations, there's the DelDOT backstop or overlay, and frankly, for the person who has the sign, whichever one is more restrictive is the one that they have to abide by. So the billboard, the electronic billboard, would have to dim at night, even though that's not currently part of the county's code for on-premise signs, in order to be compliant with DelDOT and be able to be in good standing and keep their permit, because that's an annual permit, you would have to comply with that. So they would have to have ambient dimming now, even though that's not part of Sussex County's on-premise sign ordinance. You had mentioned, Mr. Friskney, that there is the nits and how all that works. In layman's terms, I mean, how does that work? How does the sign know how bright it is outside? Is there just a table in it that tells it sunset in Sussex County on February the 7th occurs at, you know, 5:55 or whatever time it is tonight?
Yeah, there are two primary ways to do it. The first way to do it is with a photo cell, which all of our billboards have, and people who are credible would have photo cells on their signs, and it adjusts throughout the day by averaging brightness. So if heavy clouds move over, the sign dims itself automatically in about 100 incremental steps. Then at sunrise, sunset, it adjusts and overnight runs at a consistent level. It's a hardware piece of equipment, so we also have a backstop failsafe in place, which is software photo cell, which is tied to sunrise, sunset table. So if the hardware equipment happened to fail, it reverts back to the software setting and makes adjustments based on sunrise and sunset and keeps it at appropriate brightness levels too.
If you were to compare, have studies been done comparing the amount of light that's emitted by an LED billboard versus, I know you compared it to to a porch light. But if you were to compare that, how does that compare to lighting in the typical parking lot of the areas where we see them, where we see these signs in Sussex County? If you think along Route 1, they're often in parking lots of businesses located along those roads near service stations. If you were to compare those lighting conditions, what is the, do they give off more light, less light?
They give off a lot less light. That, you know, an awning at a fast food restaurant or lights underneath a canopy at a gas station are, could be several thousand nits. So those types of things can be much, much brighter.
Is it a standard in the industry for these signs to be used for any other purposes other than the commercial purposes for the individuals who buy them and sell space on them?
We, you know, we have the on-premise markets. So that would be schools, churches, banks, auto dealers. Transportation, you know, the Department of Transportation, you know, for traffic safety and that sort of thing is a common use for LED signs too. Sports facilities.
And have you found that are public service announcements made or asked to be made through LED signs?
A lot of our you know, a lot of our customers participate in the with Crime Stoppers, Amber Alert, local weather alerts, a wide variety of public service announcements for emergencies and just for public, you know, community events.
Are you aware, one of the concerns that has been mentioned throughout the course of this is safety. Do you know of any studies or have there been any industry-wide studies that have been done to compare the safety of traffic on a road that had an electronic billboard versus one that didn't?
Yep. The,